Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's March 22nd, and our Bible passage for today is John 9. It's a very interesting chapter in the book of John, and it has lessons that we can apply to our lives today. As I read through it, I want to set the stage. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of the Booths, B-O-O-T-H. In Hebrew, it's called Sukkah. It's one of the three major festival celebrations by the Jewish people. The other two are Passover, which coincides with Easter, and Shavuot, which is 50 days after Passover, same time as our Pentecost. During Sukkah, the Jewish people are asked to build simple huts in which to live for 7 days. Eating, entertaining, sleeping, all activities are done in those little huts. It's meant to be a reminder of how their ancestors lived during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt. It appears that Jesus is not there to celebrate Sukkah. He's just passing through at that time. And by the way, Sukkah happens somewhere between Halloween and Thanksgiving in that time period. Another minor observation is Jesus restores the man's sight late Friday afternoon. Now, Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday, and Jesus is accused of doing work on the Sabbath, which he did not do. The healing may have taken place on the Sabbath when the man finally saw, but Jesus applying the mud was done before sundown. I want you to note three important lessons as we go through the story. The first is that faith will grow progressively. It's seldom an instantaneous action. Second, Jesus sees us as we could be, not as who we are. And third, we understand and grow in faith when we remember and repeat the stories about when we had observed God's presence in our lives. Some of you may remember an adult Bible study class held by Julie Stafford called God Sightings. Our homework assignment was each week was to experience a time when we felt God's presence in our lives and then report that moment the next class session. And that is what I would call a blind man's realization. As he grew in faith, as he retold the story of healing experience. And that's something I hope that to implant in you today. Make yourselves aware of and on the lookout for when God touches your life during the week. And then don't be afraid to share it. And I may even ask you to write it down. And when we can get together, we'll review it again. Now I'm going to read chapter 9 of John. I'll be pausing from time to time to make some editorial comments. First, verses 1 and 2. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Notice how quickly the topic goes from the needs of the man to the judgment of him. The idea that sin causes suffering was prevalent in those days, and somewhat today. When we see a homeless person or someone down on their luck, we wonder what they did to deserve that fate. Jesus explains to his disciples that they and we are asking the wrong questions. Jesus doesn't see the blind man as a beggar. He sees him as a child of God who deserves God's healing touch. Now, 3 through 9. Jesus replies to his disciples, "It's not because of his sin or the parents' sin. This is done before so that the power of God can be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this a man who would sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." Notice how the townspeople were uncertain if it is really the former blind beggar. Beggars were considered expendable. They were forced out of the city limits, and they were allowed in the city limits during the day to beg, but no one wanted to be contaminated by them. The blind beggar told them, "I am the man. The man called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know." Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, and he told them, "He put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." The townspeople marched the man to the Pharisees for two reasons in mind. One is they thought the man had been faking his blindness and just a freeload off of them. Or number two, they thought that the healing took place on the Sabbath, and healing may have happened on the Sabbath, but Jesus applying the mud was before sundown. So the Sabbath doesn't start until sundown. Verses 17 through 19 now. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What is your opinion of this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." And the Jewish leaders still refused to believe that the man had been blind, and how could he see? So they called his parents. They asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how is it that he now sees?" Notice how the man's faith had grown. In verse 11, he called Jesus the man. And now in 17, he says Jesus is a prophet. 20 to 23. His parents replied, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He's old enough. Ask him." The Pharisees rule by intimidation. They rule with an iron fist. And the parents don't want to jeopardize their ability to live and worship in the city, so they tell the Pharisees to ask their son. And ruling by intimidation will result in letting you hear only the truths that you want to hear. You will never know the whole truth because the people are afraid to tell you the whole truth. verses 24 to 34. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know that the man Jesus is a sinner. And he replied, I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. But how did he do this, they asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man said, I told you once. Don't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They cursed him and said, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but God is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You are born a total sinner, the Pharisees said. You are trying to teach us. They threw him out of the synagogue. You see how strong the man's faith has become? He knew that challenging the Pharisees would get him expelled, but he was willing to bear that cross. The blind man had not seen Jesus up until that moment. Remember, he was blind when Jesus applied the mud. He had heard his voice, but he had never seen his face. Now, verses 35. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said. He is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind and show those who think they see that they are blind. Some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby heard this and asked him, are you saying we are blind? Jesus replied, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Jesus sees us as children of God, but we are sometimes so wrapped up in our daily lives and blind to his healing touch. Most of the time, God's presence among us happens when we least expect him. So we need to be mindful and observant. Be aware that God wants you to know he is present and active in your lives. So your job is to be aware and alert to when God touches you, and then give him thanks. Now, in closing, I want to read the Old Testament text, which is Psalm 23. And notice how David is wrapped up in God's presence in his life. Here's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 22 and 23 are polar opposites, which makes me wonder if David wasn't bipolar. The 22nd Psalm starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the 23rd starts out with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But that's a sermon for another day, and hopefully sometime we can address that when it gets closer to Holy Week. Because the opening lines of Psalm 22 are exactly the same words that Jesus spoke on the cross, according to Matthew and Mark. But they have completely different meanings. So as I said, that's a sermon for another day. In these days of social distancing, we are forced to entertain ourselves. So here's an exercise for you. Make yourself aware of God's presence in your daily life. And as I said earlier, a few years ago, we had an adult Bible study class led by Julie Stafford entitled God Sightings. I'd like to repeat that assignment and give you something to do while you're self-quarantined. And when the quarantine is lifted, let's review what you have. Make note of when you had God sightings in your life. So that's your social distancing entertainment for the near future. Now may God bless you and keep you safe as you observe God's presence in your life. Go in peace, loving and serving the Lord your God. Amen.